Murphy off the near board, centered one. Ronan couldn't kick it to the stick. Now the wraparound, he scores! Jeremy Ronan worked it loose on the far side, then wrapped it around the near post. And Ronan continues his torrid pace, his 47th goal of the year. And it's a 3-0 Hawk lead.
Here come the Hawks, the Lightning.
Well, look who came to Chicago during the Bear-Packer game in Bear-Packer game and came up in the studio. It is good old number 27. You can see him on the NHL on NBC. It is Jeremy Roenick. It's great to see you, man.
Well, listen, it's you, which is why I'm here on Sunday.
Are you sure about that?
Anybody else, I don't know, I'd come in studio. I would either be in my room watching football or at a local establishment watching football. But again, being in Chicago is always one of my favorite things in the world. So even when it's freezing cold.
Can we give people a peek behind the curtain? How many text messages have we exchanged in the last 4 days? 20?
How many have you sent me, you mean? I think it's about 30 to 3 in favor of you. So you have the same lead that the Packers have on the Bears right now, I think, in terms of text messages.
You're going to be at Joe's on Weed Street.
I am. Tonight from 5 to 7, Joe's on Weed. Going to sign autographs for Coors Light. It's one of my favorite things to do is represent Coors Light. Obviously, it's the number one beer in the world. And, it's always great when you get to meet your fans and meet people in Chicago, and I see a lot of returning people that come to see me all the time. So this is my third event this week, and I'll be back next Friday, and then probably a couple more times in the next year. So 10 altogether that I'll be here. It is again one of my favorite things to do.
Ed Warm, who owns Joe's on Weed Street, is one of the nicest Chicago guys you'll ever meet.
Okay,
he is the best.
Well, maybe he'll be there tonight, being it's Sunday football, and he'll be it there. I'll ask for him. I've never met him.
And Joe's on Weed Street is such a great bar.
It's
a Chicago
it's good,
bar.
It's good. Although I will say I hate country music.
What?
Hate country music.
But country music isn't country anymore. It's remember the Eagles?
You know,
okay,
you know,
Zac Brown is not country.
You know what
he's
you get when you play country music
anything.
Backwards? You get your wife back, your life back, your dog
it's
back.
It's not like that anymore. It has changed.
No, thanks.
I need to send you some stuff.
No, you don't.
I will.
Save your battery life.
Zac Brown is more rock than you'll ever hear.
I'd rather shove thumbtacks in my eyeballs and run into traffic.
You're listening to the wrong stuff.
No,
you're thinking Hank Williams back in the day.
No, thank you.
Yes.
No, thank you.
George Strait.
Hey, listen, I know a lot of country singers, and they're great guys. I just don't listen to their music.
I was driving to Joliet yesterday. My son had a basketball game at, where was it? In New Lenox. Was it Providence Catholic? Okay, and I'm driving south, and I see a billboard, you on the billboard holding an Aurelio's pizza.
The best. By the way, I will say this. You want to talk about a sausage pizza? Aurelio makes their own sausage here in Chicago.
Yeah.
They make their own sausage. It is the best sausage pizza on this planet, bar none, in my opinion. And Joe Aurelio, he's a staple here. It's been 60 years he's been delivering, serving pizzas and helping the community.
Another Chicago
years.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A great Chicago guy. Great. And listen, if you want to support the good Chicago, entrepreneurs and people that have been here that have supported, the businesses and the people of Chicago. It doesn't get better than Aurelio's, and Joe Aurelio is just absolutely spectacular.
When you come to town, we've taken Soul Cycle a few times in Old Town.
Yep.
Have you taken it since you've been here?
I did. I took it. Yeah, I took it. I was in Old Town 2 days ago. I was with Brent. So if anybody wants to really get their ass worked off bad and hard and I don't think you'd make it. I don't think you'd make it through the class.
Well, I love telling this story because the first time I've taken SoulCycle was with you, and we were in Old Town.
Yep.
And I think I'm in pretty good shape, and I used to be a runner until my knees started slowing down, but I can cycle.
Yep.
And then I'm sitting next to you, and I look over at your thigh, and I think to myself, this guy was a professional athlete.
But you have to understand this. When you do SoulCycle, Petey, you do SoulCycle, okay, number one, you have to be strong, and you have to have good core. Number two...
Yeah.
You have to understand a beat, okay? You have to understand the music of a beat
and keep
your feet in line with the beat. And if you can do that, then you're going to be a good soul cycler. And then yesterday I had Kellen right here at the Loop, and My goodness, I've never moved around so much on a bike in my life. I came out of there, I probably lost like 10 pounds.
We had a therapist in a half hour ago, Tiffany Louise, who you met on your way out.
Yeah, she was very nice, by the way.
And she said, you know, you got to move your body, you got to stay healthy, and that's one of the things to keep your mind healthy. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, when I first met you, you were big. You were overweight.
Oh, yeah, big
time. And then you...
I was 255.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, you were a big guy. I remember you coming and we'd have food and alcohol for you in the State Street Studios down there.
I wouldn't come unless you did.
But there was a point where you just stopped and you went on a program. You got a trainer.
Yep.
And you quit drinking for like 6 months.
I did. I did. Well, you know, sometimes you have to, at least for me, I had to prove to myself I didn't have a problem.
Okay.
So stop that way.
Right.
But, you know, you get to a point where you just feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah.
You feel awful getting up every morning. You can't be as active as you usually are. And especially for athletes, when they retire and there's not somebody telling them to go into the gym and telling them what to do and having that structure of every day working out and getting that, you know, getting those calories burned out. It's very easy to stay away. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll have this pizza today. You know, I'll just have six Coors Lights.
And you're always on the road.
Yeah, it's very, very easy to get lazy, especially, like I said, once you're a pro athlete. I mean, I've seen so many guys blow up to 300 pounds, 280, you know, even more so, that become almost unrecognizable. And I was on my way there. And so, you know, I decided to make a change. And you know, I fluctuate. You know, I got down to 205 from 255.
I couldn't believe
200,
it. You were too skinny.
Yeah.
That was too much.
Yeah, it was too skinny. And my golf game, by the way, was terrible with it. I pulled everything to the left. I got too fast, you know. And, you know, at least I've got a little bit of a gut now. I can get, you know, I have to get around it a little bit. But I'm about 220, 225, you know, right by there. And that's my comfort weight. I feel good there.
So 220 is your ideal weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, post hockey weight, yeah.
Right.
So, but, you know, again, I get lazy like everybody else, but I, you know, you have to have the mental fortitude and you have to have the ability to stop it and come back and bring it back. You have to have that discipline, and that's one thing that I feel that I've been pretty good at.
What did you weigh when you played?
Well, I started at 150 back in 88, and I think my...
What?
Yeah, 150, and that was just crazy. So playing against guys 230, 225, 240.
Were you 20? How old were you?
I was 18.
18?
My first year here in Chicago, I was...
Okay.
I was 18 years old. And, you know, I think my ultimate playing weight at my prime was 185, 190, and then I finished my career at 205, 204.
Okay.
And, I actually played pretty well at that weight too in San Jose, but you find getting older, it is very, very difficult. I turn 50 next month, Pete. 50.
I know, man.
Where's it going?
I know.
I can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
How about Shelly? This is a guy I saw a few times this summer, and the last time I saw him was the Hawks convention, and then he goes back to Malibu during the winter, but he's here in Chicago during the summertime. He comes back for games.
Yeah, he's here
today.
He's coming back today. Yep.
He's in unbelievable shape. He still looks like he could play.
Well, he's better shaped than most guys that are playing today. I bet you he's 175 pounds, 180.
Solid.
Yeah. I mean, when they have the term Greek God, okay, it's Shelly's face going, you know, hi, it's me. But you want to talk about a disciplined guy. Here's a guy who works out crazy every day.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in the sauna and does push-ups and sit-ups every day.
Mm-hmm.
At times, at his home in Malibu, he's got a stationary bike in the sauna.
In the sauna. You told us that last time you were on the air.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
And he drives a truck, an old beat-up truck, and in the back is a paddleboard. And he paddleboards. He'll be driving down the road and see a body of water. He'll pull off and get in the water and paddle. The guy is a freak of nature when it comes to being active and being a healthy guy. And I've seen him go through, you know, a case of beer at night.
Right.
You know, and then next thing you know, next morning he's up going, you know. He's one of the best people, one of the most energetic, and I idolize him more than anybody else in any sport.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's the best.
He is the best.
He is. How about that tan? Probably the best tan in all of professional sports history.
No question.
Yeah.
That's the Greek in him. I'm telling you. That's the Greek in him. He's a beauty. Well, he's coming back from Malibu today for the game tonight, and he's going to be the only tan guy in United Center.
That's so funny. Do you guys still get together on a regular basis?
Yeah, we actually talked about getting together tonight after the game, so I'm hoping that happens. Whenever we're in the same town, It's very common that we get together to do something. Doesn't matter what.
How many days a month are you on the road for NBC or Coors Light or Phoenix or Philadelphia?
This year, in the 2019 calendar, it's 300 days on the year. I'll be on the road.
Jeez.
Yeah, 300.
How do you do that?
I don't know. It's just part of my life. I like being out. I like meeting people. I like being active. I like doing things. You know, my kids are both moved out of the house now. My wife will come every once in a while, but she has her life too. But
right.
I mean, I've been on the road now for a week. I go home 2 days between now and the Super Bowl, February 2nd.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is a long stint for me. And by the way, not all of it is work. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of travel personally. We're going to the Bahamas for Christmas next week.
I'm in 100%.
That'll be great.
I'll go.
And then, you know, then I go from here to New York, to Boston, back to New York, back home for a day. Then I go to Bahamas for a week. Then I go to Austin, Texas for 2 days, Dallas for 2 days, New York for 2 days, Arizona for 2 days, Jacksonville for 2 days, Orlando for a week, and then back to New York again. That's my next, you know, 4 weeks. It's just, it's nuts. But you know what's crazy is I'll know everything I'm doing for the next month, day by day. But I forgot what I did last week.
Because it's done.
It's just unbelievable.
You're a forward thinker. You're thinking forward. I like that.
I like to think I'm forward. Or the concussions have just totally taken over a certain part of me.
And we are very similar. We get energy from other people. So when you go out
and
these people want to talk hockey and they want to talk about the Blackhawks, you know.
100%.
Yeah, you 100%. Feed off of it.
100%.
Jeremy Roenick in studio. I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about the Blackhawks coming up next, okay? It's 720 WGN. Jeremy Roenick, number 27, former Blackhawk, is in studio with us. He'll be at Joe's on Wheat Street tonight. What time are you there? 5 o'clock?
5 to 7.
5 to 7.
5 to 7.
All right. Let me put that down. Maybe I can break away.
That'll be great.
Yeah. Break away.
I will be wearing earphones.
Why is that?
So I don't hear the country music?
They don't play it while you're there. They'll have all the games on.
Of course they'll be playing.
That is a great...
It is a great bar,
great
actually.
Sports bar.
It is a fantastic place. I have been there. Can't say that I haven't.
The way they do the speakers, because you can sit in a section and watch a game and sit in another section and still listen and watch another game and not hear the other game.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
They do a great job over there, yes.
The Blackhawks. They've lost 3 in a row, 10 losses in 13 games. They were up 3-1 last night with 5 minutes left and lost to the Blues.
It's tough time to be a Blackhawk fan right now. And, you know, you always want to be loyal to your team, there's no question. But the frustration of what's happening, what's going on, and the way they're losing, especially last night.
Yeah.
I mean, here they play they play well, they hang in there, and then... You know, a team turns up the level of play, turns up the heat, turns up the pressure, and you fold. And that's unlike Blackhawk hockey. I mean, the St. Louis Blues last night, you see the last three goals. All of them are just wanting it more, out-muscling,
right.
and thinking about where they're going. And those are things that are mental mistakes. That's just desire. That's not having a bad system. That's not having just terrible players. That's just having the players wanting it more. I mean, two or three of those were puck battles on the boards where the Blues won the puck battle because they out-muscled and out-wanted the Hawks. So, you know, when you're getting into a losing mentality, it's really hard mentally to bear down and finish games off and continue to do that. And the Hawks right now are just stuck in a woe-is-me situation.
How do you change that, though? How do you change it? They changed the coach last year. They can't do it again this year, can they?
It's preparation. It is, and you can't let your guard down in professional hockey anymore, or in professional sports for that matter. If you go on the bench and you just go there and you daydream, you doze off for a minute and just try to get your win back and not pay attention to the game and not prepare to go on for your next shift. To know what you have to do in that one shift, you have to prepare every time you're on the bench for that next shift. Knowing how you have to play, how you have to be, what your role is, how strong am I going to be? Am I going to be determined to finish my check? Right. Those are the things that you have to be. The mental game in pro sports today is just as important, if not more important, as the physical aspect of the game, because you can be as in great a shape as you want, but if you're not willing and committed to do the things that you need to do physically and mentally. To do the right things with the puck or with your body, then you're not going to win. plain and simple. And the Hawks were a perfect example like last night.
When you played, were you mentally ready to go every single game? Is there like a routine you went through in your head?
I would love to be the guy to say, yeah, I was ready every single game.
You wrote in your book, and there's legendary stories about you going out the night before games.
Sure.
On Rush Street here in Chicago.
Old school hockey. When I played in Phoenix, there was five of us that at one point, I think it was like November through Christmas, beginning of November through Christmas, every single road trip, it was, because we were winning hockey games, we would go out till 2 or 3 in the morning drinking. Every single road game, we would do that the night before the game. And we were winning. Mm-hmm. Then we got to losing. And then when we got to losing, then it was like, then we got called up to the GM's office, and then we got, we got the paddle and all that stuff.
Right.
We had to change our ways. But it was a little different back then. There's no question. It's a new game. It's a bigger money game. There's more at stake. Guys are getting paid more money nowadays. But, I would love to say I was ready for every single game. I had my games where I felt terrible, where, you know, mentally was exhausted and wasn't there. But I know why we lost. I know why I was bad, because I wasn't prepared.
Right.
And so that's why I can sit here and say and talk it, because I've been there. I know what it's like. I know the feeling. And you look at the Arizona Coyotes right now. Arizona Coyotes have, you know, their roster is not laden with superstars, but they play an in-your-face, hard-nosed, strong defensive game and a heavy game. And look where they are. They're, you know, they're one of the top teams in the Pacific Division, and they're in the top 10 in the league. So, you know, there's something to be said about wanting something more. You know, the old expression, I've used this many times before, hard work will beat talent 7 days a week when talent doesn't want to work.
I agree.
And
100%.
It's you know, you got to live and die by that kind of mentality, especially in pro sports. I mean, it should be that way in any situation, but pro sports especially.
Kanan Tapes, 30. Duncan Keith is 36. Seabrook is 34. Crow is 34. We're old. We're an old team.
Yeah, it's listen, every team gets old. I mean, listen, let's not get away from 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years.
I understand. Right? I get it. But if you're
Chicago is spoiled right now, as they should be.
Six
6 years, 3 Stanley Cups. I mean, that hasn't happened in a long time in the National Hockey League.
Right.
So what comes that is now the growing pains of getting older. You have contracts now that, you know, when you win, everybody gets their contract. Everybody wants their money.
Yep.
That's why Panarin's not here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Teravainen's not here. That's why Sharpie left. That's why Jarmelson's not here. So the guys that won cups seem to be, they get sent away because you can't keep everybody with a salary cap.
Right.
So now what happens? Now you get Taze 10, Kane 10, Seabrook 8, you know, Keith 9, you know, Corey Crawford 6. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you have $30 million left for 14 guys.
Right. Yeah.
So what's going to happen is your lower end of the totem pole are going to be quality players, at least players that are going to do the job. And right now, you have Duncan Keith, who has arguably played some of the toughest minutes and hardest minutes as a defenseman. And the way he plays, he doesn't play easy. That kid has speed. He's physical. Block shots. He plays the game like a real man. So he's getting worn down, being hurt. Seabrook, another way, big guy, big defenseman, right? Smart, great leader. But in this day and age, when you get older and you're not so fleet of foot, Seabrook's going to get exposed.
Right.
You lose Jarmelson, who I thought was the best defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League.
You said that.
That one hurt. That one hurt a lot. For me, I hated that one more than Panarin. I hated that one more than Teravainen. I didn't like that trade whatsoever. Understand why it had to happen. You know, you're running against financial, the financial ceiling. It's tough. But this is what you're getting. And right now, defensively, the Hawks are awful. They're awful. And, unfortunately, you know, Corey Crawford can only do so much.
Right.
You know, Leonard can only do so much. That they need to make the big stops, but they're getting barraged of shots. And that's because the puck comes in the zone. You know, these young kids go back to get the puck. They panic. They throw it away, like what's happened on the winning goal yesterday. You know, they just throw it away. And next thing you know, it ends up in the back of your net. And, you know, it's one mistake is end of the game.
I'm going to keep you for 5 more minutes. I got to take another quick break. Okay.
I got to talk about my hockey school.
Yes, that's what we're going to talk about. Perfect. I was just going to promote that.
Hey, I read your mind. I'm right ahead of you.
Jeremy Roenick is here. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also our text line. The Bears are losing, and it looks like they're going to lose the game to the Packers. It's 720 WGN. The Bears are losing 21-6 with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. In studio with us, number 27, Jeremy Roenick. What do you think of the Bears?
I don't know if Trubisky's the guy. I don't know if he's the guy.
He's not the guy. He just needs to manage the game.
I don't think he's the guy. You know, you're watching this game. He makes some really good plays. He just had Miller wide open for a 15-yard easy pass, and he overthrows it. You know, he had one good year, but, he's not the guy.
Tell me about preparing for a huge game like this. The Bears needed to win. They're playing their biggest rival. They're up in Green Bay. If you're a professional athlete, how are you feeling? When you played, let's take you back to the days of the Red Wings. Yep. When you were playing the Red Wings.
Yep.
What was it like?
All pumped up. There's no question. You're jacked up.
Yes.
Like, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
There's no question. And listen, sometimes you just play a team that's better, and they're going to beat you. They're just going to beat you.
Well, I mean, the Packers are much better than us.
If you're playing a better team and they're ready to play and you're not, I mean, you just see that pass by Trubisky. It's terrible. You know, fourth and five. It's terrible. But so you're going to get to play against a team that's just going to beat you. And, mm-hmm. you know, the Bears have been in the Packers' territory five or six times. They have 6 points. I mean, I know it's cold and all that stuff, but...
Right. This was a must-win to go to the playoffs. Must-win.
Yeah, must-win. No question.
And we fell flat.
No question.
It was bad.
Oh, well.
Let's talk about your hockey school.
Okay, let's do it.
You have three different cities, right? You're doing in Philly, Phoenix.
And we're taking our first one to Philly this year, too.
Okay.
Yep, so it's been a raging success. There's no question. We started with 50 kids my first year. We went to 100, and last year we went to 150 kids. And the great thing is just there's so much personal attention to each kid. I'm on the ice every single minute with the kid, 36 hours a week. You know, they have two off ice, two on ice.
Right.
We have what we call a personal growth session where we talk about life. We talk about being a good person.
Maybe I should stop by for that one.
Yeah, it's
I feel
really
like
good.
You're talking directly to me.
You know what's great is these kids come into camp and they meet me and they're shy and they're scared and they're nervous. They leave and it's CJR. You know, we become buddies.
Right.
My friend JR, and it's my friend Ryan, my friend, mm-hmm. you know, my friend Kelly, whatever the case may be.
Right.
So it's really nice. I have a really great rapport with the kids. I have a great staff. We have six or seven coaches on the ice at one time. So each kid gets 100% attention. There's not one kid that doesn't go on that ice that does not get taught something every single day. And I touch every kid every single day in terms of what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong,
right.
Positive attitude. I teach them to love the game like I did. So it's been a raging success. It's run amazingly. This next year, it's July 20th through 24th here in Chicago. It's going to be a great time. If you want to join, you want to sign up, it's jrhockeyschool.com. We're having actually an unwrapping promotion since it is the holiday season. Anybody that wants to come on board and give their loved one a nice present, go and download the application, fill it out, put it in the stocking, film your child or your adult friend, because we do have an adult group.
I was just going to ask you about that, because there's guys listening that play
in
high school,
group,
college.
Which is great. Yeah, there's a lot of Coors Lights consumed after after those two. But, you know, film your loved one unwrapping the application, the entrance into JR Hockey School, and then upload it on your social media with hashtag JR Hockey School. And we're going to pick three winners to have a personalized message sent to them, welcome into the school and all that. It's just a fun way to celebrate, a good gift. But jrhockeyschool.com, July 20th through or 21st through 24th, I think it was, did I say? That week of July.
20 to 24.
Yep. So it'll be a lot of fun. We're only doing 150 applications, only 150 spots.
So you cut it off after that because you want each kid to have personalized
attention. We want to make sure that everybody
okay.
gets attention. Spots are going fast, so sign your kid up for a Christmas gift or whatever, but they are going fast. I think we're about 110, 115 kids
right now.
So
you're almost done. This
pretty
is
fast.
It.
Yeah. So definitely worthwhile giving a good present. JRHockeyschool.com. And it's, again, middle of July.
Now, didn't Shelly go out there last year?
Shelly came out. Patrick Kane came out.
I was going to say, you have these guests that come in.
Yeah. We try to bring out some of the current players, some of the, you know, some Eddie Belfour says is going to come next year. We try to surprise the kids with as many fun guests as we can, pictures, autographs. You know, it's a fun week for the kids. They get to meet their idols. Again, it's all, you know, conducive to the players' schedules. It is the summertime, but a lot of guys have been gracious enough to come out. Patrick Kane's done it a couple of years.
When did you two become so close, you and Kaner, and how did that happen?
Well, I think just the, I think the respect and admiration of our, you know, of our careers, of our talents. We had very similar entrances in the National Hockey League, similar careers,
right?
Similar lives in Chicago, Americans. So I think the admiration and respect for what we both had to go through. We're very similar in the way that we
So you understand what he is going through, and he understood.
And by the way, we have very similar personalities. You know, I was. By the way, I ventured a lot of local establishments in the city when I was a kid.
Right.
But I didn't have social media. I didn't have a lot of the things that that Kaner has to deal with.
Yeah.
But what Kaner has done with his career over the last 4 years, 5 years, and really has changed his public persona to be like the ultimate professional, where he's, you know, he goes out. He's one of the hardest workers in the off season.
His training routine. He trains on a regular basis, and I know somebody that trains at his facility, and it's off the charts.
Yeah, he's
even in the off season. That's all he does.
Yeah, he's a true professional.
Yeah,
and I truly believe he is the top three or four best players on this planet. I think he scares defensemen as much as Connor McDavid does, if not more. You know, Connor McDavid comes with speed. If you're a defenseman, you're just going to back up and let the guy go. Patrick Kane comes at you. He's stick handling, moving, you know, deking, juking one way, juking the other way, and he literally embarrass you. You know, so I love watching the kid play. You know, how could you not? The kid's
who's a better golfer, you or Kaner?
I've never played golf with Kane, actually.
Really?
No, but I'd have to say I am.
Who's a better golfer, you or Brett Baer from Fox News?
I love Brett Baer, but I'm a better golfer than Brett Baer. I'll take him on any time.
Are you sure about that?
No.
Baer is so good.
But I'm going to say that just to make sure that, you know, that I get into his head a little bit.
He's such a good guy.
He's awesome. He's an amazing man.
People always ask, how did you meet Baer? We came up together through Rockford. He was in Rockford, and we became fast friends.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, he's such a pleasant guy, such a nice guy, and you know, I think he's a lot different when you get him outside the studio.
Oh, yes.
You know, he's
A
lot of fun.
Right.
He's a good singer. He's a good entertainer, and he loves his golf. So very, very fortunate to call him my friend.
Man, you and I could never golf together because I'm the worst golfer on the planet.
Yes, that's right. We will never golf together. We will never golf together.
Do you play tunes when you golf?
I do.
Okay, I like the tunes going, having a beer.
I'm not an old school, golf etiquette.
Maybe we could.
I'm definitely not
scramble.
I'm definitely not the perfect golf etiquette guy. Especially when my club goes 30, 40 yards, you know, further than my ball sometimes.
JRHockeyschool.com. Jeremy Roenick, he'll be at Ed's at Joe's on Weed Street. The owner is Ed Warm. Joe's on Weed Street tonight at 5 o'clock, signing autographs.
Yes.
And you're back here next Friday. Where are you going to be?
You know what?
No idea.
But I will text you, and you can promote it.
I love it. I'll put it on
Facebook. Okay.
You're the best, man. You know I love you.
Love you too, Petey.
Merry Christmas
to you too, and everybody out there listening too. I love you, Chicago.
Jeremy Roenick, everybody. It's 720 WGN.